We've felt your spirit. We've experienced your spirit this morning. Now with your spirit, plant into us the sincere milk of the word of God. Let the word dwell in us richly. Let it bring change and transformation. Lord, let the word that we see in this Bible, let it become revelation knowledge to us. Let that revelation knowledge sit with us, Lord, that we might apply it to our lives till we see you manifest in new and fresh ways. And we thank you that as you manifest yourself, we will tell the world that you are our God and there is no other. So we thank you for that right now. I move myself out of the way and allow you to speak freely. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's go turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now, through our series, we've been talking about the power of agreement. And we did a few different things, and I'll give you, we have some slides for, but I'm just going to talk you through a little review real quickly. We won't use the slides because I don't want to get caught into it too deeply. But there's a couple of things I want to make sure that we are understanding when we're talking about this, the power of agreement and what it means and what it's all about. And we've been talking about foundations of the faith and what our foundations are built on. And one of those things is, how do we agree with God? So in the book of Amos 3:3, it says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And sometimes we read that and we're talking about people. People can't walk together unless they're agreed, which is true. But the passage is about the nation of Israel being agreed with God. So God told them, how can you walk together with me unless we're in agreement? And before that, he had to tell them, here's what these nations are doing. Here's what these other nations are doing. Here's what they're all doing, evil. And you're doing the same thing. So how can I walk together with you? How can I bless you if we're not in agreement? So we brought that to the New Testament and started thinking about ourselves. How can we walk together with God? How can we walk in God's blessing? How can we have what God wants for us if we're not agreed with God? How can we walk together? How can we say, God, bless me. God, I want your best. God, I want to see this happen. I want to see that happen. How can we ask God to do those things if we're not in agreement with him? Two can't walk together unless they're agreed. Now, we fast forward and we talked about also that agreement requires four things. Agreement requires, number one, that there be a purpose or a vision. There's something that we see, something that we're focused on. And that focus point becomes our point of agreement. In other words, we have to both be looking at the same thing in order for us to be agreed on it. The second thing is that there has to be timing. In other words, that once we're agreed that we're looking at the same thing, we have to be looking at it at the same time in order to be agreed. So once again, I may say, Lord, I love you, and God gives me directions, and I see the plan that God has for me, and I start walking in it, but I decide I'm going to do it tomorrow, not today. I've gotten out of the timing of God. And so I'm not walking in agreement, even though I believe I see the same vision, but my behavior may have taken me off my timing. So the third thing is, oh, it's up here anyway. Okay, the source of truth, authority. We agree on the word. That the word is our source of truth. And so when we're not sure, we don't question each other. We go to the word. We find out, what does God's word say about my situation, about my circumstance? And when I can get onto the word, now I can clarify the vision that I see, and I can get my timing right, and I can walk the way God says to walk. And the fourth thing is a commitment to action. Because if I have all the other three, but I am not walking it out, once again, I'm not in agreement. When God tells us to wait on him, wait as in a waiter. We take it as wait as in delay. But his word, when you read and look at the Hebrew words that actually mean wait on the Lord, the word is to serve. It's not to delay. But to wait on the Lord, as in serve the Lord. So to serve the Lord requires action. So if I say, I'm serving you today, and then you look up, I'm sitting in my chair, you say, that brother's not serving me. He's not in action. So there has to be purpose, timing, a source of truth, and action. Those are the four things. Then we talked about that the measure of our agreement with God, if we have to measure how agreed, I'm trying to figure out how agreed am I with God? Well, my source of agreement, or the thing that reflects my agreement, is my faith. My faith shows what agreement I have with God. Because when I'm operating by faith, faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, my faith becomes that which propels me into the action we talked about as that final step. So in faith, you have to have those four elements. You had to be able to have the vision and have the timing, and you have to have that source of truth, and you have to have that commitment. Those four things together become our faith. Because faith takes action. So this is kind of what we're looking at here, and this is our overall understanding. Faith comes by hearing the word. How do you build your faith? You got to hear the word. You got to hear the word. You have to hear what God says in order for your faith to be increased. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and 17. And then that other element is that faith works by love. In other words, you can be a person of great faith. And if you ever take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it begins by saying, though I have. And it starts listing all these powerful things, but I have not love. I'm nothing. I can give my body to be burned. I can do this. I can do that. I can have faith to move mountains. But if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Why? Because God's nature is love. God's currency is faith. How God exchanges with us, currency is faith, but God's nature is love. So your currency doesn't work unless you have the right nature with it. So, example, I got 50,000 pesos in my pocket, and I go to corner store here and try to buy something. Am I going to be able to buy something? But I got 50,000 pesos. In Mexico, you can buy something. Why? Because I'm in the wrong place with that currency. So when you're trying to exchange with God and you're using currency of good works or currency of good behavior or currency of those types of things, things don't work because that's not God's currency. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the currency you have to use is the currency of faith that works only by the nature of love. So to understand that what we're doing is when we're saying we're getting into agreement with God, we have to learn a new language. We have to learn a new way of operating. And so I'm learning personally that there's certain areas of my life that I still have not got the right currency working in. I'm still trying to spend pesos in certain areas of my life. And nothing wrong with pesos when you're in Mexico. But that's not where I am right now. And so with the change of where I am requires a change of my currency. It requires a change of how I'm trying to make exchanges. And so my new exchange has to be using my faith in agreement with God to move to the next level God has for me. So Romans, well, let's go ahead and finish. We talked about faith. Let's go ahead and finish this. Okay, the power to walk in, the agreement. Here we go. You can't walk in higher levels of faith without walking in forgiveness. I want to leave that one out. Forgiveness is that extension of love that goes past love of convenience. The love of convenience is the love that you love me, I love you, it's all good. Cherries on top, great. Forgiveness is love that goes into deeper levels once conflict starts, once disagreement starts, once heartbreak starts, once challenges start, once disappointment starts. When those things begin, now you have to use love at a deeper level, which is the love of forgiveness. And that's the love that God gives us. That's why every time Jesus taught somebody how to pray, he ended it by saying, but if you don't forgive men, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Huh? But I'm talking about prayer, Lord. Yeah, I'm talking about prayer. You can't effectively pray. You can't go to higher levels than God. You can't move to new things until we deal with our hearts. Because why? Because now we're getting back to love and faith, the currency of God. Have to be able to walk in forgiveness. Next thing. The job of the believer is to bring their whole life into agreement with God. If you can't write all these down, don't worry about it. They'll be on the website this evening. The job of the believer is to bring their whole life into agreement with God. Five areas of spiritual maturity. My life is aligned with the Word. Is it? Is my life aligned? Relationship with God, relationship with people, using my gifts and talents, being well, and how I manage my resources. Is my life aligned with God? That's what we're seeking. Is my life aligned with God? And where it's not, Lord, show me the priority, because you can't deal with all the five of these at the same time. You need to let God show you what's the priority and let God begin to work it through for you. Let God begin to work it through for you. See, there's some people who by nature, by their human nature, by their gifts, they can manage resources with excellence. But they may not be able to manage conversations with other people. There's some people who can use their gifts and talents. They are anointed, and you see them and you go, wow, what a great anointing. However, they can't take care of their body. They're people who can take care of their body. My body is the temple. I got it down. I'm working out every day. I'm in perfect shape. You throw a coin on me, the coin just bounces off. Some people, you throw the coin and stick to them. You throw the coin, bing, pow, come right off of me. Some people. But that person, that same person, may not understand worship any different than listening to anybody playing some music. They may not be able to discern. So there are multiple areas, and our job is to find where we need to prioritize, where we need to strengthen ourselves, and then begin to move into whatever God has for us. All right, next thing here. This is all stuff we've been talking about as we've been going through. Four levels of faith. Level one, believe in God for your own needs. We looked at the book of Matthew chapter 14. The people came out listening to Jesus. They followed Jesus all day long. They got hungry at the end of the day, and they're looking at Jesus, but they wouldn't go home because they believed that Jesus was going to work a miracle for them. They stuck, they kept on. Even when they were hungry, they didn't have any food. They're out there all day listening to Jesus, believing he's going to do something for them. And what does Jesus do? He looks at his disciples and says, you feed them. So we revealed the first two levels of faith. Number one, the people who believed Jesus was going to do something for them, and they believed and he met their needs. The second level was the disciples who, when they saw the needs of other people, said to Jesus, what are we going to do? And Jesus said, you feed them. And so the disciples fed 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves. Everybody says Jesus did it, but Jesus didn't do it. Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and handed it to them. They had to go and hand it out. So we praise God that yesterday, some of our team members went out and they handed out food. They came together, they brought some stuff together, they put it together, and then they stepped out. What did they do? They used their faith to come together. We're going to put together some bags, we're going to put together some food, and we're going to step out and we're going to give that food to people. They took another level of faith. They came out of the faith of just believing for myself. Yes. Now I'm going to believe for other people. Yes. And they took a step out into the community and fed. The third level of faith was Peter. after this whole thing happens, and they have fed the 5,000, and they put in the boat by Jesus and told to go across the lake. And then when they get on the lake and the storm begins, they see Jesus walking in the distance, and they think it's a ghost. And he says, "Don't fear, it's me." And the sheep knew his voice. But only one of the sheep then responded and said, "If it's you, tell me to come out here." What if it's not him and you go out there? See, he heard the voice and he was willing to say, "Lord, call me out." And when Jesus called him out, the third level of faith, hearing Jesus and stepping out of the boat. The fourth level of faith is found in John chapter 14, where Jesus says, "The works that I shall do, you shall do greater, because I'm going to the Father." So the fourth level of faith is getting to where we do the works Jesus did. That we're bold enough to lay hands on the sick, we're bold enough to do things that other people won't do, we're bold enough to do great things, and we see God respond. Now, all those things being said, let's get into what I want to talk about today. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. When you get there, I want you to tell your neighbor, "I'm going to a higher level of faith." Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice." Turn to your neighbor and say, "A living sacrifice." "Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Now, the first thing here is, he says, we're going to present our body as a living sacrifice, and that's reasonable. That's a reasonable service. It's reasonable to give your life to Jesus. It's reasonable to give your life over to God. It's a reasonable thing. Next verse. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't be conformed to the world. In other words, there are two voices. There's a voice of the world and there's another voice. We're not to be conformed to the voice of the world. We're not to listen to that voice. We're to recognize that voice is trying to get you not to present your body as a living sacrifice. That voice is trying to not get you to obey God. That voice is trying to get you to do your own thing and not consider God. But be conformed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, your mind in neutral is not being conformed. You're going to have to deliberately transform the renewing of your mind. You deliberately have to let your mind be changed. You're going to deliberately have to do something. Now, when I was an athlete back in the day, I discovered that I could increase my physical capacity by getting my mind right. So I was a high jumper in high school. And so I'm out, and me and the five guys are out there, and we're jumping over the bar. We got the bar about 5'3", and you know, we're jumping over the bar, having a good time, you know, because we all just jumping right over, no big deal. And so our coach is watching us in the background and sees us and comes over and starts fussing at us. He says, "Raise that bar to 6'3". "We can't jump that high. You're going to raise that bar to 6'3". "We can't, coach, we can't jump that high. You're going to jump that bar." And so every day we came to practice, and it went from six of us, and it trimmed down to three of us. And every day we were hitting our necks and hitting our backs, and we can't get over the bar. "We told you, coach, we can't jump this high." He said, "Your problem is not your body. Your problem is your head. You keep telling me what you can't do, and I'm not expecting it. I put the bar where I want the bar, and I want you to jump over that bar. We can't do that." Six, down to three. By the end of the season, because he got our minds right, All three of us were jumping over that. Why? Did we get all of a sudden become different people? Did all of a sudden, I mean, the season's already started. In 2 months, we didn't become super, nothing happened. We didn't get no steroids. We didn't get anything. What changed? What changed is our mind concerning our approach. And when we start figuring out that we had to do something different and we started getting our mind renewed to what it meant to do what we were doing, all of a sudden we could accept new technique. We could accept new approach. We could accept new ways of doing things. And when we did, all of us went over the bar. Why? Because our mind got renewed. See, there are obstacles in our lives right now that are presenting themselves as high bars. They're too high to get over. You can't get over this. You can't do this. You can't make this. Nobody ever does that. And you are looking at the bar saying, I can't get over the bar. But God said, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let your mind be changed so that you can get what? This good and perfect, acceptable will of God. There's a will of God that is above what's acceptable. There's a perfect will of God. There's a will of God that goes above what is standard, what everybody else may get. You know what? When I was a kid, I keep talking about when I was a kid. I hate to keep telling stories, but I'm telling. Every summer, we all went crazy. All the kids in my neighborhood went crazy. It's plum time. It's plum season. We all go crazy. And we anywhere there's a plum tree, we got to raid the tree. We just can't help it. It's just we have to. But once plum season starts, all the low-hanging plums get taken. And so if you really, really are driven to have plums, you're going to have to climb trees. You're going to have to get up on fences and walk. You got to climb up on those fences and a little 2x4 up there. You're going to have to walk the 2x4, get out to the tree, reach up there and get your stuff. See, the acceptable will was just walking on the ground and picking what you can grab. But there's a perfect will. You can get up higher. There's fruit at the top of the tree, at the middle of the tree that hasn't been grabbed yet, and you got to do something different to get up there. And so the people that are scared of heights, they don't want to balance. The people don't want to climb the tree. They can't get that stuff. Because that stuff is set aside for the people who will climb the tree, the people who will walk the fence, the people who will do things that nobody else will do. And you can sit in that tree and eat all day, eat green plums till your stomach hurts, because you up there. But everybody can't get it. And there are things in the kingdom of God that are sitting in the tree waiting for somebody to get. And waiting for somebody to climb up the tree by renewing their mind, getting their mind prepared and coming up to new levels to grab a hold of new things. And we told you that when the Nimrod and his gang decided, we're not going no further, we're going to build ourselves a tower up to heaven. And they began building this tower. In Genesis chapter 11, we told you what happened. God comes down and says, huh, look at man. He's of one language, one mind, and look what he's doing. From this point farther, nothing that he puts purposes in his mind will be withheld from him. So you know, God said, if man wants to go to the moon, I'm going to let him go. And we have. If man wants to climb the top of Mount Everest, I'll let him go. And we have. If man wants to go down to the deepest part of the Pacific, we have tried. And somebody's going to get there. Why? Because all man has to do is make up his mind. And he can do the impossible. Why? Because God said, I'm going to create man in my image, in my likeness. I'm going to give him ability. I'm going to give him authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the fowl. I'm going to give them ability. But with that ability, what has happened to us is Satan has come and Satan has said, I'm going to change their minds. I'm going to make them slaves in their minds. I'm going to restrict them from things. I'm going to hold them back from ability. I'm going to tell them that they're inadequate. I'm going to challenge the very nature that they've been given from God. And I'm going to start right here in this garden, and I'm going to ask them, has God indeed said that you can do this? I told you last time, he's used the same trick. He comes to Jesus in the wilderness and says, has God indeed? If you're really the Son of God, then do what I say. But what is it? It's us being assured and knowing who God has made us to be and being bold enough to let our mind be changed. Let our mind be renewed. Let our mind be renewed. Every time I run into a new obstacle, I discover more mind to be renewed. I hit a new obstacle. I said, oh man, I got more mind to be renewed. You hit a new thing. Here's a new thing. We got to get over this. And what the enemy comes and says, you got over the last one, but that's high as you can go. Yeah, yeah, God bless you. Yeah, God got you through that one, but this one is the one you're going to fall on. Yeah, yeah, you got away with starting a little church, but you're not going to this next level. Yeah, yeah, okay, you got that job, but you know, don't be looking up to this next level here. You know, well, one of your kids is okay, but you know, the mother three. It's always going to be something. He's always going to come with the same thing. He's going to make an exception. Why? Because he's trying to work on your mind. He's trying to break your mind down. Let's go to the next verse. For I say, through the what?
Grace.
Grace. What's the word of the day?
Grace.
I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among who?
You.
Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Now this is going to sound contradictory to what I'm saying, but you got to look at this whole thing. To everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That sounds like, well, that's what the devil told me. The devil told me to stop thinking of myself highly. It doesn't say that. It says not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. See, if you're thinking about yourself like yourself, then yeah, you have limitations. If you're thinking of yourself in terms of faith, you don't have limitations. Faith is God's currency. So the more your faith, the more you spend. The more you build your faith, the more you can walk in new places. The more you build your faith, the more trees you can climb. See, we're getting our mind renewed to have our faith available to walk in grace so that I don't have to try to think of myself as better than other people. I can just say, I'm not better than anybody, but I walk by faith and not by sight. I got the same flaws and errors as everybody else, but I don't walk at the limitation of my flaws. I walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, I know my human limitations, but I'm not bound by my human limitations because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I can ask or think about, according to the power that works within me, that he's the one that put it in there. See, it's getting this mind renewed, getting a new framework of mind. We went through the economic crisis and we had a whole bunch of debt. And we didn't go crazy with stuff, but we just had a whole bunch of debt, just like a bunch of stuff. It's like, man, I'm never going to pay all these bills off. Good Lord. Maybe we file bankruptcy, we get out from under it. Whew, that'd be sure would be good. Get them bricks off my shoulders. Man. We didn't take our house, we didn't leverage our house all the way up, but because other houses went up, When the market dropped, ours went underwater. Wait a minute. How I'm going underwater and I didn't even go to the top? I never got to the surface. But it's like, oh man, where's the way out? And the Holy Spirit just said, there's no temptation overtaking you except that which is common to man. But in everything, God has made a way of escape. There's a way out. God has a way out for you. And it's not the way that the world's going to tell you to get out of it. And so we prayed and we kind of kept trying to do things we knew to do. And eventually we got to where literally our mortgage is almost is going to be like the last bill we have. We got some student loans. I told you about that. I made my confession about student loans last week, right? So student loans and the house will be it. And guess what? They going too. Why? Because I'm not walking by, and listen, and all that while we had our income cut in half. Because it's not me. It's God. It's not me. It's got to be God. And to walk in faith means that you're going to have to go places that feel uncomfortable, but you have to know in the middle of it, you know what? That's not my, this doesn't author who I am. This doesn't author what I can do. It doesn't, it's not, my circumstances are not authoring my life. They're the path for my life. The things I have to pass through to get to where God has taken me, but they are not authoring it. God is the author and finisher of my faith. God has dealt to each one. All of us have a measure of faith. Every person is brought into this world with a measure of faith. Now, the faith that you have can be increased by getting your mind renewed, coming into agreement with God, and walking in new places. Let's go to the next verse real quick, and then I'm going to close out with this. I'm going to keep you guys too long. I'm not going to go where I was going to go with this. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a member with you. Mm-hmm. You're connected. You're connected to each other. So yesterday in our partnership class, what happened was people began sharing and found out that they were connected. They were connected by testimony. They were connected by relationship. They were connected by various things. But we discovered a connection that we're one body together. So the measure of faith that we all brought together all increased and strengthened everybody else because we all found common ground. So we are many members, all have different functions, but all of us are still part of one body of Christ. Let's go to the next verse. Having then gifts differing according to what?
Grace.
The grace that's given to us, let us use them. Use your gifts in accordance to the grace that's on you and the faith that you have. So the word says a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great people. And I'm persuaded that when we recognize what our gifts are and we use them in proportion to our faith and we use them by the grace of God, that God does and deals with everything else. That when we operate within our gifts and we see what our gifts are, that God gives us a wisdom to take care of the vessel that we live in so that the vessel sustains us for the journey. Because, see, you only need your body as long as you're doing what God's telling you to do. It's really this, that's the nature of your body. Your body's there to support you doing what God called you to do. So when we find that gift and we begin to operate in that, whatever it is, if we do it in faith, up in proportion to our faith. The problem is sometimes we're trying to do things out of proportion to our faith. So the drum set's not here today, right? So I have very minor drum skills. So my proportion of faith is not prepared to sit at that drum set. Now, if I sit somewhere, I can play, but my faith is not ready to sit there and play in front of y'all. It's a proportion of faith. I can do it, but I can do it in proportion to my faith. I'm not ready for that. So there are other things that we have gifts, but our faith in the gift isn't raised to a level to do it in certain environments. So some of you have gifted voices. You're able to sing, but you're not ready to sing here. Not because of ability, because your faith isn't there. Some of us have gifts to feed the nations. You have the abilities, or you have the talents, the mind, the concepts, the things in you to do tremendous things, but your faith isn't yet ready to go there. And so when your faith gets ready, you can step out to new levels. Having differing gifts. There are different gifts in the room. Problem in the churches is that churches elevate gifts. We see certain gifts and we elevate those, and we look at those and we see those as the most valuable gifts. We don't recognize every person has a measure of faith. Every person is blessed with a gift. Every person in this room is talented, gifted. Everybody in this room has abilities. Everybody in this room is anointed. Everybody in this room is powerful. Everybody in this room has something to offer. I went through school frustrated because I didn't know that there was 9 different types of intelligences, and I was only seeing that the school is addressing 3. So I'm frustrated as a student because I don't see an outlet for what I have. So how do I get to that next level? I have to discover my gifts. You have to discover your gifts. And when you discover your gifts, then you're able to move into new areas. You're able to do things. Then you're able to take the limits off and move into whatever God has for you. But it requires that discovery. Next verse. Ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. Next. He who exhorts in exhortation. Do you know there's a gift of exhortation? There's a gift to just encourage other people. What? That's a gift? Yeah, it's a gift. There's some people who can just encourage other people, exhort people. I thought that was called a cheerleader. It is! It's a gift. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who sows mercy with cheerfulness. There's a gift of mercy that people can have mercy on others and bring cheer. I won't go to the next part of this. Let's keep it at this. Summarize. Renewing your mind to move to the place of you being able to exercise what you have. So God never requires us to do something from out of what we don't have. God only expects us to do from what we have. The parable of the talents, everybody's given different talents, different levels, according to their abilities. The person that got in trouble is the person with the least amount of talents. That's unfair, isn't it? Why is the guy with the least talents being scrutinized the worst? Yeah, had nothing to do with the talents. It has nothing to do with how many talents you have. And that's the trick. Everybody's been caught to believe the world system has got us to think you have to have a lot of gifts to do things. But if you only have one gift, use it. Use it in proportion to your faith. Take some faith around that gift you have and exercise that gift. Now, the guy that had 5 gifts and the guy that had 2 gifts that both had a return received the same reward. Why? Because God's not worried about how many gifts you have. He already knows how many gifts you have. God just needs us to obey. God just needs us to be aligned with Him and walk with Him in what we have. If you can encourage people, encourage people. If you have a gift to give, give. If you have a gift to lead, then lead. If you have a gift to have mercy, have mercy. But whatever you got, use it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory and honor. We thank you that your word is truth. We thank you that by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would guide us into all things. We thank you, Lord, that you would settle us. Give us vision. Give us understanding. Allow us to be agreed with you so that we can walk out. Let your spirit reveal to us who we are. And we accept whatever you show us. And we thank you that as we accept who we are, Lord, in proportion to our faith, we take today and step into whatever we have. We step into those gifts. We step in those talents. We step into those things. We get our mind renewed about who we are. And we thank you for the grace that's on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for your patience. Let's stand on your feet.